Valley. We wish you all well on your journey. All right. This morning, we're going to wrap up our series on this part of denominationalism. What does the Bible teach about true worship? This will be our third lesson on true worship. We're going to have another lesson in the near future about the pattern of New Testament worship and see what the Bible has to say is New Testament worship. And then we're going to have a couple of lessons on what denominations think about themselves and how they justify their existence. But anyway, we want to talk about this idea of what does the Bible teach about true worship. Now, to set this up, we know this, that no denomination was ever made from strict adherence to the authority of Christ or the New Testament. We know that's the truth. And so people never divide over what the New Testament teaches. It's they divide over what it does not teach, because it doesn't teach what they want. People divide because they do not like what the New Testament teaches. That's the plain and simple truth of the matter. All right. It's already been expressed, the only cure for religious division, as well as for all other sins, is the New Testament, the authority of Christ. This is the only standard that can bring unity out of division and order out of chaos. Since religious division is basically caused by departure from the divine standard, then the only way of transition from division to unity is for those in the denominations to forsake the doctrines and practices of men and come to the New Testament. A lot of times, a lot of churches, they want to get together. So when they decide, well, we're going to have unity, we're going to get together, the whole concept is compromise. You compromise just so we can get along with each other. The problem is, when it comes to the truth, it can never be compromised. We always have to stick with the truth. And we'll see that during this lesson. The proper way to study in any subject is to focus upon what is the truth. Because let's face it, when you point out the faults of others, it's not a very positive beginning to any study. We can sit down and say, you're wrong because of blank, blank. The second we say you're wrong, they put up that wall and they don't want to hear anything else you have to say. And so it's not profitable. Let's see what the Bible says on this. And then let them decide for themselves. Focus upon what the truth is, and then people will see where the error lies. Hopefully they'll see it. Our purpose is to keep people out of the denominations and call them out of their error. If they're in denominations, call them out of it. So far, we've presented many scriptures and exposed the denominations as being wrong in view of the scriptures. Now, the denominations think they're right in view of their feelings, in view of the teachings of man. But we want to focus upon the fact the Bible does not accept them. All right. The last few lessons have focused upon what true worship is all about. And by establishing the standards of true worship, we can see that any deviation from the truth is error. And let us continue looking at true worship. Okay, Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. It has been shown that man has introduced these hundreds of religious bodies and doctrines. God didn't do it, man did. The Bible teaches that God does not accept this division. Those who follow the teachings and doctrines of these false ways are being led into destruction. In Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In view of this statement, why not search for the true church, which is found in the New Testament? They should. To know whether or not a particular religious organization was planted by God, all one needs to do is study the New Testament. Then you would know. If they're calling themselves by a name which God calls the church, if they are practicing the religion that God wants practiced, if they are doing the things that God wants them to do, okay, that's right. that when we find that in the New Testament. The problem is, those in the denominations, they're not doing what God said. They're doing their own thing. They're doing what they want to do. So if the divine word expressly authorized an organization, then we can be assured that God established it. But a cautious and careful examination, investigation of the New Testament will not reveal a single reference to any denomination existent in the world today. You won't find it. Will not be there. We can carefully conclude that God did not plant or establish the denominations. Therefore, they will be rooted up by God and cast into the fire. And look at all that. Think about that. The most tragic result of denominationalism is that many precious souls will be lost, no matter how right they may have been to their own denominational laws. Think about that. We hear people all the time, well, he's a good practicing Catholic. He's a good Baptist, a good Methodist, a good whatever. Doesn't matter what good they are if they're not following the New Testament. And God will weed them out. It will be a proper judgment. Matthew 17 and verse 5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now remember this story. They were up on the mountain and Elijah and Moses came and started conversing with Jesus. Peter said, hey, this is good. Let's build three altars so we can honor each of you. And then all of a sudden the voice from heaven came down. This is my Son, hear him. The context reveals that the law represented by Moses and the prophets represented by Elijah was to be replaced by the words of Jesus. That's what it tells us. He is the ultimate authority, and we know that. So he is the one we should be listening to. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Christ has the authority. Jesus did not say some authority or most authority, but all authority is given to him. Every decision made to serve him must be done in his way, which he has authorized. In fact, we don't have to make guesses thinking, well, maybe he'll like this, maybe he'll like that. Basically what Jesus said, do it my way. Or if you want to put it in our closer vernacular, my way or the highway. All right. John 12:48. We read this last week. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Man rejects Christ and God when he does not receive and accept the teaching that is given to us in the Holy Bible. I mean, that's a fact. As a result, we will be judged by the words that teach us how to live righteous lives in the sight of God. Remember Revelation 20, verse 15, and books were opened. One of those books is going to be the Bible. This is the standard God has given to us. He's given it to mankind. He's told mankind, this is what I want. This is what I want you to believe. And he's given it to us. And if people don't follow God's word, they're going to be judged and say, you didn't follow God's word. Therefore, you're not acceptable. Now, the sad thing is, these people think that they're doing God's word. Remember Matthew 7:21-23, where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. But many will say on that day, but Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many good works? And he will say to them, I never knew you. We can't deny that some of these denominations do some good things. And there's good people in those denominations. But the problem is, the denominations, by their very existence, they are wrong in the sight of God. And those who participate in them are participating in wrong. And God's not going to appreciate that. We hope and pray sometimes. We pray that the grace of God is going to be sufficient to take care of some of these very good, nice people. But we cannot preach that God's going to overlook the scriptures in order to say, well, that was a good person, we'll go ahead and take them. God's already given us the standard, what he's going to judge by, and man cannot change that standard. All right, our scripture reading for this morning, as we already had read, every denomination exists because of division. Because somebody didn't like what somebody else said, because someone didn't like what the Word of God says, they decided to start something different, something new. And what was common of that day, they didn't like it, so they wanted to start something different. That's where it all came from. But they did not serve Jesus Christ in doing that. It says, for those who do such do not serve our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, their own appetite, their own feelings. That's what it is. All right, because some could not agree as to the meaning of certain scriptures or beliefs. Some people didn't, so we just can't get along anymore. And so they went off. And there's many divisions in many of these groups. They all have splinter division going off and from time to time. Because some became tired of the old ways and needed something new. We see that problem facing the Church of Christ these days. Well, we've got to get contemporary. We've got to be like the denominations out there. They have big crowds. They have entertainment. They have food and fun and frolic and stuff like that. We need to be doing that same thing. We need to be singing these new songs. We need to add the instruments to our song service to make it more lively and things like that. That's what people are saying. That's the reasoning they're giving for it. They become tired of the old ways. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 says, stand ye in the old ways, in the old paths, where the good way is, and the righteous will be on those ways. But people said, we will not stand in these ways. Well, guess what? God has a judgment for them. Because some influential person might have swayed them. The smooth talkers, the fancy talkers, the people that make you feel good. I mean, I'm sure you're all familiar with Joel Osteen. You've heard him all the time. God loves you so much. And God wants to take care of you. You send me money and God will bless you. You know, he does stuff like that. Have you ever heard him quote a scripture from the Bible? No. Or out of a conviction that something was amiss. Something's just not right here. So they started a different denomination. You know, years ago, one of the kings of England didn't like what the Catholic Church was teaching about divorce and remarriage. So guess what? Boom, they started their own religion. They started the Anglican Church. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 13. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? These people were aligning themselves into various parties depending on who baptized them. And they were kind of making a big point. Well, I'm more special than you are because Paul baptized me. Or I'm more special than you because Peter baptized me. Or because somebody else did. Some failed to realize that we should be serving Christ and not some man or hold to what some man taught. That's the point of what Paul was teaching these Corinthians. And many religions have taken upon themselves the name of a person or a practice as they identify, as their identity. And we know that's true. Mark 7, 8 and 9. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. And that's what many of these people do. They want to hold on to their tradition because that's what they've always done. And they just reject what God says. Some just outright reject God's commandments. Some for selfish purposes. Others because they follow traditions that maybe their parents went to that church, or their grandma went to that church, or others they love and respect that they think, well, we'll just go there. Some will hold to their traditions even when shown that those traditions are wrong in the sight of God. And that's very true. All right. Mark 7:13. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. Their traditions were more important than the word of God. That's what they did. They had their rules, which they put forth and made everybody abide by, which went farther than what the scriptures actually said. For these people, the word of God means nothing. Don't do what the Bible says, do what I say. I mean, a lot of religious leaders actually do that. Imagine what the Pope's saying right now. I say unto you. And all these people following blindly this guy. And he's basically denying everything the Bible says. But yet, oh yeah, we'll go along with that. That's fine with me. They do not respect the Bible and the authority that it holds. Many of the denominational leaders have expressed a disdain for the Bible. They don't like it. They don't like its rules. They don't like its laws. They don't like its principles. And what they're actually saying is they don't like its author. They don't like what the author had to say to them. Thus, their own conscience becomes their own guides, and anything goes in their beliefs. Have you ever heard of the word ecumenism? Ecumenical movement. Basically, that's what it means. Whatever you feel like doing. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and do it. It's okay. That's what they mean by ecumenism. All right, so Matthew 15 and verse 9. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And that's all they are. They follow some creed book or something like that. These people are worshiping God in vain. It's not profiting them anything to do this. God does not pay any attention to a prayer prayed by an unrighteous person. We know that, no matter how sincere they may be. If they sincerely want to do right, they're going to make a change. They're going to repent of what they've been doing and seek to make things right. Now, God will help them find the truth because He's already given it to them. All they have to do is follow the truth. All the good that may be done by these religious organizations and people bring glory upon themselves and not God. Everybody, they do that. Many in the churches of Christ who get involved in this stuff, like the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Fund, they're not out there trying to give glory to God. Look what we did. They brag about what they do. And it's not for God. Colossians 2 and verse 22, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. And he said there's people who say, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. They sound good, but that's not what it means. They're the doctrines of men. And Jesus said, Paul said, they're going away. Oh, but their doctrine sounds so comforting and simple. That's true. That's what they do. They comfort people. They comfort people with lies. They comfort people with falsehood. By leaving the truth out, they comfort people. By saying there is no hell, they comfort a lot of people. That's fine. I can live however I want. When I die, I'm gone. I don't exist anymore. So live it up while we can. Or once you're saved, you're always saved. Or it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Doesn't matter what doctrine you follow as long as you're sincere. That'll be our lesson next Sunday morning. But it's just so sad that they do these things. These doctrines are leading the simple-minded and the arrogant away from God, not toward Him. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what Paul said was going to happen. The Spirit said it was going to happen. Friends, we are in the latter times. We're surrounded by these latter times. If you cannot think that some will depart from the faith, just look around at the many various doctrines taught as truth. You look around and remember there's people used to come here that don't come here anymore. They just gave up on God. They just quit coming. Or maybe they had more fun down at another place. They had fun and games and entertainment and plays and skits and things like that. And they left the truth to participate in that. Matthew 10:37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus said, if your family is more important, tough decisions have to be made sometimes. And our soul is at stake because of these decisions. An individual must leave past traditions that are still being held by those they might love. If we're to be worthy to Christ, we must devote ourselves to Him. We must obey Him. Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Yes, there's a lot of false teachers out there, and they do deceive many. Who is the false prophet? For most people, it is anyone who does not teach their belief. Doesn't matter what church you go to, if someone's teaching something different than what you believe, they've got to be a false teacher. But what does the Bible say a false teacher is? In light of the Bible, anyone who does not teach the Bible, they are a false prophet. They are a false teacher. Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Does this sound like serious business? How can people be pleased with gospels other than what was given in the New Testament? These people allow laws to be made where God has not made laws. The making of laws has necessarily produced the need for creeds and dogmas and written works of rules, bylaws, doctrines, legislation, manuals, whatever you want to call them. These creeds necessarily have more than the Bible, or they leave things out of the Bible. They have less than the Bible. And if they did what said what the Bible was saying, what they need the creed for? They don't. Because it is obvious that the Bible is not acceptable to these people as a source of authority. Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Many, in trying to keep their separate identities, will compromise with error. They have no problem doing that, because they get to keep doing what they want to do. Jesus on earth warned against false teaching. He did. The apostles warned against false teaching and errors. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Turned aside to fables and myths, as they talk about. People will not endure sound doctrine, which is the truth, and will always find teachers whatever they want. You don't like what the preacher says? There's somebody out there who will give you what you want. We know that's the case. If you do not like one person's teaching, then you can always find someone else who will say the things you want to hear. They will turn from the truth and be turned to fables. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And we know that's where it all comes from. It comes from within. If one of those people from one of these other denominations walked in here and said, we're going to do things this way, we'd say, no way, we're set for the defense of the gospel, aren't we? But when somebody from ourselves decides to start introducing these ideas, that's what we have to be careful of. Acceptance of any doctrine not found in God's word will bring destruction. And so, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Matthew 10:33, but whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. We deny Jesus every time we fail to keep his word. We also deny him whenever we remain silent when we should be speaking up for him. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In other words, don't take what anybody tells you. Don't take what your preacher tells you. Study it for yourselves. That's how we're to test the spirits. There's only one standard that is constant and sure, and that standard is the Word of God, the Bible. So in view of all this, there are still gullible people who do not think that there are any false teachers, even though Christ, the apostles, and the Holy Spirit said that there are. There's people deny that we can know who any false teachers are. And that's a real shame. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me with me scatters abroad. There is no neutral ground in this. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. You're either for God, against God. You're either for the truth or against the truth. There is no neutral ground in this. The Bible also teaches there can be no compromise concerning the truth. Who are we to obey, God or man? Many today trying to bring about unity will compromise the truth in order to have unity. And this is not acceptable to God. Acts 20:29-30. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. There's people want the glory for themselves, and so they're going to get a following. And we use another word for this called preacheritis. And you've heard that before. They don't like the new preacher. He talks funny or something like that. So anyway, the first digression from the truth in the primitive church resulted from the apathy of the Lord's followers towards false teachers and the erroneous teaching. In other words, they'll have to answer to God for their false teaching. I heard a Christian lady say that one time. Well, let the man do that. If the preacher wants to tell lies, that's his business. I mean, it just nearly floored me when I heard that. But that's what they do. And we'll just follow along. If they change the way we do things, we'll just follow along. No. Every original departure from the Word of God has been the result of compromise with the forces of error, with the forces of evil, the division of denominationalism being the final result. Since all the denominations claim to look to Jesus Christ as their leader, let them put this claim into practice by implicitly following the revelation of Christ as revealed in the New Testament in all that they believe, teach, and practice. No one asking them to give up the truth in their doctrines, only the error of their doctrines, their erroneous ways. Put those aside. 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord." It's a quotation from Isaiah. But God was telling these people, get away from all these idol worshipers. Come out and be separate from them and serve the Lord God only. There can be nothing wrong with separating from denominations and coming to the true church. There's nothing wrong with that. The true church is where we honor and respect God's word and follow it strictly, implicitly, always doing and seeking for book, chapter, and verse for all that we do, and being able to give an answer for what we do from the word of God. So we need to talk about this. Are you a Christian, or are you a part of a denomination? The Bible tells us how to become a Christian. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins, and let him be your Lord and Master, and follow him. Repent of your sins, to change your ways. Stop doing what you've been doing. Get the sin out of your life and start living for Jesus and God, and start serving others as God has commanded you. Confess his name before mankind that, yes, you believe Jesus is the Lord and you're going to follow him no matter what. Be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can be in a right relationship with God, because God does not fellowship sin. God does not tolerate sin. God does not even want to be in the presence of sin. And then live faithful the rest of your life. So that's the invitation our Lord gives to each and every one. If you have to make things right with God, it's time to do so. And we offer you that opportunity. And we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.